Rabbeleza Shwobi.
Okay, good morning everyone. Parshas Bo. This is another action-packed Sedra. In fact, this is the Sedra where everything happens. As Rashi tells us at the beginning of Bereishis, the Torah should only start off in this week, Parshas Bo, the first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Because the Torah is a communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael, and he directs us, he shows us what to do, the mitzvahs, the commandments, and therefore the Torah is there to teach us, and the lessons start in this week's Sedra. But in fact, the Torah started long ago in Bereishis, and as she tells us there, Koyach Mas of Higid Lamoy, the purpose of starting this prelogue, this preamble, you know, the introduction to the Torah, is to teach us the concept of Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, it's unique, because if you just look at the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the Yidden in Mitzrayim, superficially, they have a problem. It seems to be a labor relations dispute. The Yidden are being overworked, underpaid, and therefore normally when you have cases like that, you get one union leader, a militant fellow, he comes out and he stands up for the rights of the workers. What about the workers? And he'll go on strike and he'll get their conditions met and then they'll live happily ever after. But that wasn't the case in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the purpose was not just to stay there with a better working relationship and a better pension and more conditions and less hours and more holidays. It wasn't a matter of that. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe right from the beginning, I'm going to take you to Eretz Zovas Chol Avodavash. I'm going to take you to Eretz Yisrael. But in the way to Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of lessons for us. As the Aruch Haschaim tells us, the Rosh, he explains that in Ois Chavav, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to teach us Emuna and Bitochen. And he tells us, Liftoyach b'Hashem b'chol levavecha, you should trust in Hashem with all your heart, or Lahamin b'hashkechosoi haprotis, and to believe him with his direct providence, that he is observing what goes on in the world. And he explains, Ki mi she'enei ma'amin asher hoitzei sicho mi'eretz Mitzrayim, anyone who does not believe in the one who brought us out from Egypt, af ba'anoichi Hashem alekecha enei ma'amin, then he doesn't believe either in the first concept of the Aseres HaDibrois of Anoichi Hashem Alekecha. The Ramban at the end of this week's Sedra goes into more detail and tells us that the original inhabitants of the world, they got misguided and misdirected, and they thought that the world, it looks an old world, and therefore it's on autopilot, that of course it couldn't create itself. It's not that lunatics nowadays who they think that it can start from nothing, ex nihilo. It's ex deo. It must be a creator, a God who created the world. It needs a creator, needs a manufactured product, needs a manufacturer. So even the ancients, they believed that what was a supreme a superpower which created the world, but then he pressed autopilot and he retired and he went and he left the world to let it go on by itself. He says, however, if you see, says the Ramban, fundamental changes direct before your eyes, then it shows either there's a problem with the autopilot system, or that in fact there is a pilot directing the journey. And therefore, he says, what is the example? If a person sees Hamoyfeis Hanifla, as something wondrous, which is cannot be explained by normal cause and effect. Moira, that would teach, it would indicate, Sheyesh la'olam eloika mechadshai, that it's got a God who is mechadesh the bria, who's constantly renewing the world. V'yoidea, and he knows what goes on, u'mashgiach v'yochol, and he's observing and he's capable of making change. And therefore, the Torah goes into details, as we see, about the Moifsim, and it tells us, Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. The order of all the Makos is to teach us this one lesson. Leman teida, you shall know, ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, in the world. I'm not just on a far-flung planet. I'm not just in outer space. I'm directing all the events which happen on this world. And we say in Davening, HaMechadesh B'tzuvoi Tomid Kol Ma'aseh B'reishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the world every day. There's an input of energy for matter to exist. And that teaches us through the episodes of the Makos, Lahoyres Ala HaHashkocha, to teach us this providence. And then, as a corollary from this, min anisim agadolim amufusomim odo moida benisim anistorim shehem yisoid haTorah kula. That from these grand miracles which we observed in Mitzrayim to the, so to speak, smaller hidden miracles which we observe today, that is the yisoid of the Torah. So the yisoid of the Torah is that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam who is mashgiach, who's observing events, and he gives sechar v'oynesh. And in fact, the remark at the beginning of Orachayim Simon Aleph, he tells us this concept, brings from the Rambam, the end of Moreh Nevuchim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. We've got to imagine a Kodesh Baruch who is with us constantly, and the reason is because a person acts differently when he's being observed. For example, they've got cameras on the motorway, average speed cameras, so people behave themselves, they drive according to the speed limit. Now it's not the camera they're afraid of. The camera can't run after them. The camera's fixed. They're not afraid of the camera. They're afraid of the effects of that observation which the camera's doing, that the schav oinesh, there's a ticket in the post if they don't behave. So the concept is, first of all, to visualize that Kodesh Baruch Hu's looking at us, and then there's a reward or a punishment accordingly, according to that observation. But just to get in our thick skulls, the fact that we're being observed, that is a major effort. Because we're used to a haloma, we're used to seeing the world as a material world, with, in front of what we see is what we find is there, what we don't see we don't think about. But the Ramah tells us that a person's got to appreciate he's being observed. And kol shekein, kishiyotim adam aliboy, when a person takes to heart, shamelech hagodol hakadosh baruch hu, that the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam, Hashem eloi kol haaretz kavodoy, that his honor fills the world, Oymed Olav is standing by you, Veroya B'masav, and observing what you're doing. So that is, says the Ramban and the Rosh, that is the fundamental lesson of the whole story here of Yetzias Mitzrayim. L'man teida ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu here. Now, as we said, it's a very hard concept. So we're given certain tools to utilize to bring to our awareness and to enliven our senses this concept. And we had something called the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach is a central role in the Yetzias Mitzrayim process. It happened on that very night when they were freed, when they got their liberation. And the Korban Pesach was an unusual type of carbon, as we'll see shortly. It was roasted, it gave off a very strong smell, and there were laws of how you had to eat it, and there was preparation beforehand, as Rashi brings down in a minute. So they were busy with these concepts. And then, years later, every year in the anniversary of that Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's again a mitzvah to bring the very same Korban Pesach, to roast it up, spit roast it, not to break any bones, not to cook it, and to gather the whole family around. And then the smell and the taste are an aid memoir. It helps your memory, it rejigs your mind to the mindset we had at that night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rashi tells us on the pasuk "Bohayo lachem lemishmeres," the Korban Pesach will be for you lemishmeres ad arba asar. Means you'll have to safe keep it till the 14th. And then everyone, the whole of Klal Yisrael, has to shech this animal in the evening, the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. So they took it on the 10th. And they had to hang around with it, play around with this little shepsel for 4 days. So Rashi already asks that this one needs bikur, this one needs examining for 4 days, that it has no blemish. And why was the reason why they had to bring it 4 days earlier to keep examining it and to check it over to make sure it's perfect? Whereas Pesach Doiros, the Pesach which came subsequently, it wasn't necessary. So Rav Masya Bar Chorosh says that we're told ve'erva alayich ve'erech ve'hinei ata eis doidim, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at us and he saw that it was the time to save his beloved people. Higia shavua shenishbati l'Avraham, the time has come for me to fulfill the promise I gave Avraham, she'egal es bonov, that I will redeem his children. So the time's arrived. But they didn't have a ticket for the journey. In order to travel, you need a ticket, and the ticket is a mitzvah. So they haven't got any mitzvahs. So what did Hashem do? That you were bare and naked. So Hashem gave them two mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. They had a bris on that night. You are wallowing in blood. B'shnei domim, with two bloods, the blood of the korban Pesach and the blood of the Mila. And it says another pasuk that without. With the blood of your covenant, I sent your people from the pit, which had no water in it, and that's one reason they had to do mitzvahs. Secondly, they were shetufim b'avodas kechovim. The Yidden at that time, they had also gone after idol worship. So Hashem said, "Mishchu kechulachem, withdraw yourselves from this idolatry and take for yourself the korban Pesach." Now this is very fundamental, because the Pesach lamb was the Taravas Mitzrayim. It was the Avodah Zorah of the Egyptians. As we know, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Paroi, we can't stay in Mitzrayim to worship our God, because we have to offer up sheep. And sheep is your Avodah Zorah, and if they see us getting harming Taravas Mitzrayim, Alo Yiskelunu, they'll stone us. If they see us damaging their religion, like making a picture of it or something like that, you know, the people get very, very excited when it comes to offending their so-called religion. And therefore, if we can imagine, not only do we draw a picture of a sheep in the kindergartens, but also we actually get one and behead it, right? We cut it, we slice its neck. So then, the Alo Yiskelunu, it'll raise emotions, and it's not going to be very and very settled and very good for us. So therefore Moshe tells Paroi, "I'm sorry, we have to get out in order to shecht." Strange enough, they didn't wait till they got out. They actually purposely shechted it in front of their very eyes, in front of the eyes of the Mitzrayim. And the purpose was to show, "Mishchu yodeichem me'avoydus kechovim," separate yourself from idolatry, or kechulachem soin shel mitzvah, and take the sheep of a mitzvah. So the purpose is to give us merit, to give us zechus, to busy us with mitzvahs, and also to draw ourselves away from the religion of our surroundings. That we've got a unique role, and therefore we'll separate ourselves from their ideology and their ideas. But there were differences, fundamental differences, between Pesach Mitzrayim and the Pesach Doiros. And it's those differences which we have to understand and get a reasoning of what's the purpose of the difference. So, first of all, there's a Mishnah in Pesachim, Tzadivav, which tells us, "Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim le Pesach Doiros." What is the difference between the Pesach they did in Egypt and the Pesach they did in the future times? Well, the Pesach Mitzrayim was Mechoy Ba'asa. They had to take it on the 10th, like we said. Take it on the 10th, designate it as a carbon, check it, do Bikur for 4 days, and shecht it 4 days later. Also, Ton Hazar Ba'agudaseizo. You have to dip in with a bunch of hyssop in the blood, and then sprinkle the blood on the doorpost, on the mashkoiv. So you have to do that with the Pesach Mitzrayim, but you don't do that future on. And furthermore, the Pesach Mitzrayim was eaten in haste, and it was eaten on that one night. Or Pesach Doiros Noye Kol Shiva, whereas the Pesach in the future was all 7 days. So the Gemara says, what's it talking about? See? The Gemara fed the Kasha. Pesach Doiros is also only one night till Chatzos. So says the Gemara, no, it means the Issa Chometz is Noyeg Kol Shiva. The prohibition of Chometz is for 7 days, but on that one day in Mitzrayim, it was only one day, the Issa Chometz. Afterwards, they could have the bagels already Sunday morning, you know, the day after, or whichever day they came out, Wednesday, Chveis. So, interesting thing, it was only one day. So there are other differences, as the Gemara says in Zavachim, Kuf Yud Daled. Reb Shimon Oimer,
Reb Shimon says, "Minayin lezoyvech Pesach bebomas yochid b'shas isra abomah shuhu b'loy sase."
How do you know if you shecht a korban Pesach at a time when there's a prohibition against bomos? That means when they had the Beis Hamikdash, you were not allowed to have a boma. And if you decide it's too much of a schlep to go to Yerushalayim, you will do it in your back garden. According to a halacha, you do everything perfectly with it, you shecht it, and you roast it, and everything's nice. You're over transgressing a loy sase. As it says, you're not allowed to sacrifice the Pesach in one of your cities. In other words, any other city. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, you may think it's also at the time of Heter Bomos there's a prohibition for you to make your own private carbon Pesach in your back garden. Therefore the Pasuk says only in one of your cities. When is there a prohibition to make a private carbon Pesach in your own city or your own town? Is only when it's a time of Ba'achat Sha'arecha, a time of everyone entering one particular city. The one particular city means Yerushalayim, means Beis HaMikdash. Whereas at a time when there's no Yerushalayim, then you can do your own private carbon. So in order to explain this, we need to understand just a little bit of history, when there was a Heter Bomos, when there was not. So we're told in Parashas Re'eh, you haven't yet come, that means in these 14 years of Kibbush V'chiluk, when they entered the land, you haven't arrived El HaMenucha, to the resting place, which is a reference to Shiloh, and you haven't come to Nachalah, your inheritance, which is Yerushalayim. Because before the Mishkan was built, that means when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, there was a concept of Heter Bomos. That you could make a Mizbeach, a little platform, wherever you lived, on your rooftop, in your garden, wherever you wanted, and you could bring a private carbon. Then, when the Mishkan was set up, then all the other carbon, the Bomos were forbidden, and we had to bring a carbon to the Oil Moed. When they crossed Yoshua into Eretz Yisrael and they were settled in Gilgal for 14 years of Kibbush V'chiluk, then there became a heter of Bomos. Then Bomos private altars were permitted. The reason was because the time when it was forbidden was in the Mishkan. And with the Mishkan it says, Isha sheyishchat michutz lemachana. There's a prohibition on anyone slaughtering outside the camp. Outside the camp means away from the Mishkan. When you don't have a camp, then there is a Heter Bomos. So when they entered the land and the camp like spread out, because they were fanning out throughout the land, conquering and dividing, so at that stage you had Heter Bomos. It was permitted to have a bomber. Then Yeshua died, and they settled in Shiloh. For 369 years, there was a Mishkan in Shiloh. And at that time, again, Ne'asru HaBomos. Private Bomos were forbidden. After Shiloh, after that 369 years in the times of Eli, Shiloh was destroyed, and they brought the Oroin to the city of Noiv for 13 years, and after Noiv, it then went to Givoin for 54 years. So in those 13 years and 54 years, there were again Heter Bomos, because you didn't have the concept of to bring to the Oil Moed, and you didn't have the problem of Michutz LeMachaneh, because there was no Machaneh. So in those days, the 13 years in Noiv, and 54 years in Givoin, you had Heter Bomos. Until they came to Yerushalayim, and they built the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, and then Ne'asru HaBomos La'olam. The Bomos were then forbidden forevermore. The Yerushalayim, as we said, was called the Nachala, the inheritance, and its Kedusha stands forever like a Nachala, like an inheritance, it belongs to you eternally. And it says, Kibocha Hashem Sion Ibel Moshevloi, Kosh Baruch, who chose the Beis HaMikdash, he desired to settle there. And it says, Nachalos Elo Yazoiv, he's not going to leave his Nachala. So Yerushalayim is the Nachala, and at that stage, there was an Issa Bomos. bomas, and that isur bomas remained forever. But there's an obvious question. So we said that when there's no Mishkan and no Machaneh, then there is a heter bomos, like there was in Gilgal. And now, after Yerushalayim is destroyed, so there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Machaneh, so why does it not yet revert back to the heter bomos? The animal rights people may not be so happy with it, but why, in essence, can we not do a bomber nowadays? So to understand that, you have to see there's a very interesting Meshech Chochma in the beginning of Vayikra. And the Meshech Chochma explains, there's a Machloikus Rishoinim, he says, Akadmoinim Nechleku B'tam HaKorbanos. The Rishoinim, the Rambam and the Ramban, they disagree fundamentally in what is the concept, the reason we bring a carbon. So the Rambam's in Moreh Nevuchim, and he explains that it's lahachig leiva odom me'avodah zarah, to keep us away from idol worship. So the goyim are offering up to their getchkes, and we do different. We offer up the avdil to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he explains there in the Moreh Nevuchim that the Egyptians, they worshipped the Mazel Tleh, they worshipped the ram, and therefore, at that time, they would not sacrifice and would not shecht a sheep. And not only that, but they despised any royetzoin, any shepherds, they despised as well. And also, says the Rambam, there were groups of people who used to worship Shadim, and they used to consider the Shadim were in a shape of a goat, and therefore we call Shadim Seirim. So therefore there were the groups of people who forbade the sacrifice of goats. And there was another group of people, he says, even in India today, they worship cows. And therefore, they won't do anything to harm the cow. And they don't want you to harm the cow either. So, says the Rambam, in order to get away from those ideals where they make a sacred cow and they make a holy cow and they make a holy sheep and a holy goat, so because of that we do the opposite. We get these animals, we put our hands on it, do some yicha, and then we shecht it to show, to eradicate this idea of their sacred and what's precious to them. And we take the bull by its horn, so to speak, and we shecht it and we make a carbon out of it. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ramban, in the beginning of Vayikra, and others like him, they disagree strongly. And he says, no, it's purpose of a carbon is lekarev kol hakoichos ha'olamos. It's in order to unify all the forces, spiritual forces, which there are in the world. And he calls it, says the Meshech Chochma, hu inyan elektri ruchni. It's like a spiritual current. And this current unifies the world with us. And he says the Kohen, when he brings the carbon, he touches, so to speak, in the upper spiritual realms. So he's got this spiritual current which goes heavenward, and that's what the purpose of carbonos is. So we've got to dispute what the purpose of, in the essence of our carbon is. Says the Meshech Chochma, he's got a Peshara. He says, I think that we can explain it simply. That a carbon, when it was brought on a bomber, was for the purpose of separating the Jewish people from the mentality of Avodah Zarah. So that was done in the time of a bomber. And therefore, we were instructed to bring the carbon l'shem Shemaim. Whereas, when the Beis HaMikdash was set up, then the carbon wasn't there to eradicate from Avodah Zarah. It was because we came to this special, unique place, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had designated, and that is in Yerushalayim, which is Keneged Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala, and that is the place which unifies the forces of the world through the act of bringing carbon. So he explains the Rambam fits in very well at the time of Bomos, but the Karbonos, according to the Ramban, fits in when we have a Beis HaMikdash. And that's how he explains that with a bomber, there's another difference, that we're not allowed to bring a carbon, a nadova, on a bomber. It says that Ein Reich Nichoyach B'Boma. With a Boma you can only bring a Korban Choyva, you can't bring a private offering. But since the Korban Pesach is a Korban Choyva, therefore you can bring it. You could bring the daily offerings on a Boma, like the Korban Tomid. But you can't bring your own personal Shalomim and Adavos on a Boma. Whereas Beis HaMikdash is different. There, of course, that's where you have Reich Nichoyach, and that's where the purpose of the upper echelons of Korbanos are brought to the fore. Then he explains an answer to our question. He says, so why is it therefore that once Yerushalayim was destroyed, why can we not bring a Korban on a Boma? So he says, "Uvezeh nisgale lisoid b'mashachidish Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen b'Megillah Daf Yud." He says that the Rabbi Chaim Kohen explains that according to the opinion which says "Lokid shala asilavai," which means when the Yidden were living in Eretz Yisrael, there was a sacredness, and once they left, then it became more mundane, and there's nothing spiritual left. He says, nevertheless, even according to that opinion, there's still after the Chorban a prohibition against Bomos. He says, why is that? And he explains, because the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah in the time of Ezra, they were mispalel for the desire to worship idolatry was removed from them. He says, "Mishum da Anshei Knesset HaGadolah batlinu leYitzro d'avodah zarah," that they took away the whole concept of us wanting to worship idols, and therefore when you have no need to separate yourself from idolatry, there's no need for a Boma. And that's why nowadays there's an Issur Bomos. So it's true we haven't got a Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Heter Bomos, because by shechting an animal in your back garden, that's miles away from any thoughts of the ancient Egyptian idolatry, which doesn't apply to us anymore. And that's how the Meshe Chochma unifies the two approaches of the Rambam and the Ramban, and then it's all settled. So
the Meshe Chochma cope with Adam and Cain and Hevel being back in Kabbalah before Avodah Zarah was invented, and yet they did it.
But Adam was before Noach. Already was time of Enosh. Yeah.
Adam and Cain and Hevel all were back, and Noach for that matter. Adam and Cain and Hevel were all back in Kabbalah on the Bama before there was even that way to Zorah.
Yeah, it could be before Math and Torah is maybe a bit different. There's only when we had the Tzivoy to keep away from it. Even though the Shavuot Mitzvahs Bnei Noach also applied before. Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
The children that you can have a Korban Pesach is man out there.
Oh no, so Mr. Mankov, he asked a very interesting question. Can we bring a Korban Pesach b'zman hazeh? So just as an aside, it's a very big debate in the poskim. In fact, Rav Kalisha brings down that he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he wanted to say that we should be able to bring Korbanos b'zman hazeh, and he had a whole debate with Rabbi Kiva Eger, his Rebbe, whether it can be allowed, can't be allowed. Rabbi Kiva Eger told his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, to find out if it's possible to get Rishus to build it, and the Chassam Sofer in his Teshuvah, Simon Reish Lamed Vav, I think, Yeridea says that in fact it is technically possible to bring a Korban Pesach b'zman hazeh, because it's a Korban Choyva, which is allowed on a Boma. It brings down all the debate. But of course, it's only unfortunately academic, because you can't even step foot on that place. So, without the Goyim causing trouble. So therefore, that's a side issue. But back to the point that we have in Mitzrayim, we have this idea that we had to drive ourselves away from Avodah Zarah. And it's brought down quite aptly by Yitzchak Voloshin in his Sefer Per Kodosh on the Pasuk, "Al toichlu mimenu na uvoshal mubushal b'mayim." We're not allowed to eat the Pesach raw, and it must be roasted, and it cannot be cooked. So he asks an obvious question. He says, what difference does it make to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam which way you cook it? Whether you have it sliced, whether you have it cooked, whether you have it roasted, what difference does it make, the method of eating it? So long as you eat it and you're happy with it. He says, but I'll tell you what the purpose is. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam said specifically you've got to keep it whole. Keep it a complete animal in order, and not to chop it up into pieces. not to make mincemeat out of it. It should be bishleimos, and that is in order to show that when the Egyptians come round to the Jewish houses, they will see specifically that, you know what this is? This is a sheep. It's not disguised. It's not like they hide it in a sandwich. Here it is. You can see it cooking clearly. This is your getchka. This is your avodah zarah. And that's why it had to be roasted. Because by roasting it, it gives off a strong odor. And it's potent. And therefore the Egyptians, as they're walking past the Jewish houses, they can smell this smell of the roasted meat, which was the Korban Pesach. And that's again why it was brought from the 10th. He had to hang on to it for 4 days in order for the Mitzri to again see that he's going to shecht his lamb. And it's to teach us to stand up for ourselves. We've got to have a backbone. That even though they disapprove of our actions, you've got to do what's right. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu mandates us to do something, then who cares about world opinion? Who cares what they're going to think about us? They can gnash their teeth and they can get all worked up about it. But we'll do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us to do. And that's the reason why we were told also that we should have Masnechem Chagurim. You've got to eat it b'chipozim. You've got to eat it in a manner with your walking stick at the ready, with your rucksacks packed, with everything ready, so as they come around smelling the smell of the carbon roasting, and they can see that you've sacrificed their God, and they say, what are you doing? He says, we're getting out of here. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the yield. That was Eretz Zavas Cholav Udavash. And that's the purpose, why it starts off with Bereishis, to teach us that we're on that mission, on that journey, on an odyssey to get to the special place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for us. Whether the Goyim like it or not. And we've seen in our own times, the Yidden, they had to say goodbye to Germany, they had to say goodbye to Russia, and now they're saying goodbye to France, and who knows, soon they'll be saying goodbye to England and America, and they'll be back in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's what Kosh Baruch Hu wants, right? Whether you like it or not, that is the journey we're going to, slowly but surely. In fact, in that sefer, Drisha Sion is unique from Epsviyish Kalisha. It was written 180 years ago, his teshuvas, but published in, I think, 1860. And in the sefer, he writes, proofs from the Yerushalmi, how the Geula will come stage by stage in natural events, and there he describes what we've seen unfold in front of our very eyes. He says that slowly, he says, there'll be Yidden living there, and then they'll set up colonies, and he said we should get policemen to guard them, because it's very, very dangerous. We can't believe the Mesiras Nefesh, which the Talmidim of the Gaon and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov had when they went to Eretz Yisrael then. It's unbelievable. In fact, I read in the diaries of Moses Montefiore that when he was travelling, he went to Alexandria in Egypt, he hired a British battleship in order to sail north, because there were Greek pirates in the Mediterranean, and they would take your ship and throw you overboard. So he paid for a battleship. You know, it was a lot more expensive than EasyJet. And there he shows, 7 times he went to Eretz Yisrael, and it shows you there, by trit and by shrit, how slowly, incrementally, bit by bit, Kayelas HaShacha, that the morning star will get brighter and brighter and brighter. So he says that's what he showed would happen. And he said that nowadays we've got influences in the world. We've got Rothschild, and we've got Montefiore, who can buy tracts of land for us, and we can compete now with the Goyim. It's quite remarkable. It's stunning how, like a Novi, he was describing what we can see today. Of course, we're only en route there still. The Shekhinah's not fully come back, and we haven't got Beis HaMikdash. But you can see already, this is what the Ramban explains. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to eradicate the machshavos zaros, the wrong thoughts of heresy, and it's to bring us towards, closer to Ribono Shel Olam, and closer to our purpose. But just to finish off, there's a little bit of lomdus. And the lomdus is, if I find my paper, the lomdus is that we were told, Pharaoh tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, go and serve Hashem, just rak soinchem uvekarchem yutzog, keep your animals here. Gam tabchem yelichimachem, your children can go as well. But Moshe replies, he says, no, not only are we taking our own sheep, we're going to take your sheep with as well. Gam ato titem biyodeinu zavachim va'oilos va'asinu la'shem elekeinu. You're going to give us as well, korbanos. And the Ramban says, how can that be? How can it be that the paroi should give a korban to the yid and we should offer it up? He says, it's impossible. Very good. How can you use it, Bicham? The Ramban says that really the Yidden didn't do this at all. They never took a carbon from the Goyim. It was only divrei chizuk. It was only like a hyperbole that he would say that it would be so stressful for you, Paroi. We'll twist your arm so hard until you'll give us whatever we want. He says, "Kiyad Hashem olav al amoy until the zavochim va'oilots v'chol hashelo yitzeim ba'ad nafshay." One minute. So the Ramban says that in actual fact, Abu Loi Ola al Das Moshe Lasoi Zevach v'shoyim Teiva. He says it was on no understanding at all. Moshe Rabbeinu had no intention to take the idol of the goy and to bring it up. So in Shuvas Chasam Sofer Simreish David Hey in the Agor, he says that the sheep of Mitzrayim, there's a problem. We've just explained all along, these sheep was the idolatry, it was the deity of the Egyptians, and it's Nevad, and therefore something which has been used for idolatry is Nesa for Hakrova. You cannot offer it up as a carbon, you can't bring it up. So even though there's a technicality, a way you can get out of it, the Goy can be Mevatel is Avodah Zarah. A Goy can say one minute he's got the God and next minute he's ditched it, right? He can have he's a schizophrenic spiritually. One minute, yes, one minute, no. But once he says no, and he gets away from the Avodah Zarah, the Goy's mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So even though when the Goy sells an object to a Yid, then the Avodah Zarah gets annulled, because if it had any meaning to him, he wouldn't sell it for any money in the world. Once he sells his idol, it becomes permitted. Because, of course, the Yidden are not going to offer this up, they're going to shecht it. But nevertheless, says the Chasam Sofer, but the Yidden in Mitzrayim themselves were over the Avodah Zarah, and therefore they were instructed, Mishchu Yedeichem Avodah Zarah, and a Yid cannot be Mevatel an Avodah Zarah. And therefore, they couldn't use their own sheep, they would have to use the Egyptian sheep. So it will help them taking it from the Egyptians to be Mevatel the Issa. So, one second. So we've got a problem of Nevad, but a Goy can get around that fact by selling it or giving it away, and therefore the Issa is bottle, so it's no longer Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, the Chasam Sofer brings down, it should be Ligavoya, it will remain in its Issa because of a problem of Mios. You're not allowed to, for example, use church candles on your menorah. Why? Because it's called meals. Something used for idolatry is repugnant to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to use those things. So how on earth, says the Chasam Sofer, could they ever bring up a Korban Pesach? Fundamentally it's flawed, because it was Nevad or it's Nesa, and even if you say you've changed it, but nevertheless it's Mos. So he brings down the Teretz of the Chasam Sofer is unique. And with that we'll finish. He says, certainly, those korbanos which they designated for carbon to Hashem, for example, as it says, for Yochoygu li bamidbar, and on that, Paro said, Zivchul alekeichem ba'aretz, Paro said, why are you going out of the land? You can worship, bring korbanos here in the country. Those were korbanos for Hashem mamash, and then also nevad ba'alechayim. Those korbanos, which is what the Ramban says, but don't think at all that those korbanos which Paro is giving for you to offer up when you go in the desert, don't think you can use those. That's forbidden. Because me'isa ligvoya, because it's repugnant. And therefore, you have to say, since it was also for the Yidden, then lo nevdu ma'olam. Only animals which had a pure pedigree, that were not worshipped, those were the ones which the Yidden sacrificed, like the Ramban says. But we've got a problem about Pesach in Mitzrayim, right? Because there, they didn't have a Mizbeach, Lizroik the dam, and he explains, because there was no Mizbeach, Lizroik, V'loila Hagte, Ochumedum Ali, says the Ramban, a says the Chasam Sofer, the Ochlu Hachalovim Ve'emurim. The carbon Pesach was unique, that it wasn't even a carbon. A pellet. It wasn't a carbon. He says, oh, it was an imaginary carbon of Zerika on the Mashkoi, Yishtei Mezuzois. He says, but in actual fact, what about the Chalovim, the parts which have to be offered up on an altar? He says, they ate those parts. And he brings a raya from Rabbeinu Chananel, who holds the same. The Meiri disagrees with it. But he says it was a unique type of carbon. Right? It wasn't even a proper carbon. We call it a carbon Pesach. It was a display of loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and eradication of Avodah Zarah. But it wasn't a normal carbon. He says, therefore, it says you could eat the chalovim, the emurim, and that's included in the posuk, v'ochlu es habosu b'layla hazeh. And therefore, even if it had been worshipped, and it will be forbidden for carbon, even after bittul, but there's no problem here, because it wasn't offered up legavoya. Mishum hachi, gabi mishchu lo hizke abo bit ala bittul. So therefore, he says, the carbon Pesach and Mitzrayim was totally different fundamentally from the subsequent carbonos. That is true, it was brought, let's say, on a bomber, but it wasn't a carbon per se to fall foul of the Issa of Nevad and the Issa of Mios. So that's the chiddush about the carbon Pesach. Okay, we shall be zoicha, v'sachazen eineinu, v'shulcha l'tzim, v'rachamim, t'meh v'yameinu, amen.